Hey, good morning to one Michael Bassick, who texted me and said, when are you talking Cowboys? I have a long drive this morning to go play golf. How did the third string center do in walkthrough yesterday? So there's the old Mikey training camp sarcasm leaking through.
Absolutely love it. I wonder where he's playing golf. I do wonder.
I asked him, where are you driving? He said, I got a long drive, so let me know when the baseball happens. I said, 6 and 7, top of every hour so far.
He misses. He misses he misses being able to like put in those little barbs on the air. He misses them being there in real time. That's what he misses more than anything else, I think. It's just the ability to be sarcastic and jab people live on the air.
Jab. We are commercial free with the Expressway every day at this time with a concert ticket giveaway and the Neighborhood Watch coming up at 7:40. We are inside the Star here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. And, of course, our training camp coverage is brought to you by on-time experts Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar.
All right, so let's listen to what CeeDee Lamb had to say yesterday. He was really, really good. He got a lot of praise from the media for a lot of really honest and open answers at the podium. Spent 20 minutes up there talking and covered a lot of different subjects relating to his own game, expectations for the season, his celebration with George Pickens. But he did get into kind of the meat and potatoes of a lot of the questions surrounding the Cowboys right now. And the biggest one that's come out since they got to Oxnard is this building tension now between Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones. CeeDee Lamb, your thoughts on that?
Being in this situation, obviously playing this media game with Jerry is not the best. It's not fun. It's not recommended. But as for Micah, he knows what he brings to this table. Honestly, for this team, for himself, and he should get what he deserves. And I'm not indulging in any of the craziness that they got going, but I do want Micah to get paid soon.
So when he says it's not recommended, don't get involved in that. Do you think that's a recommendation for, like, bro, you can't win a media battle with Jerry? Or do you think it's like, don't go play in that area because it's just a bad look?
I think he's just more saying it's a headache. It's going to cause you stress. You know, it's going to remember that video of Lamb when some Jerry shot came out and wasn't he driving a car and like banged his fist or something, or he was, you know, exacerbated?
Yeah, exacerbated. Yeah. It made it bigger, made it worse. Yeah.
I think he's just trying to say, I don't think he's trying to warn him, because at the end of the day, I asked this the other day, it's a bigger topic, but I was like, when does a star demand a trade out of here? When does someone say, screw you, man, I'm out, get me out of here, I'm demanding a trade? And then Tolo, Drew, and others put it best. They go, why would they? They know they're going to get paid at the top of the market and be set for life. And that's why Micah shouldn't be worried about a war of words. Although I will say this. Here's my latest 14th take on this whole saga. Now it feels like it's not about the terms. It's really about Micah the person. This leadership thing, I was pushing off to the side and saying, whatever, stop. What are you judging him by, OTA attendance, minicamp attendance, whether he's going to show up on the field in Oxnard? I'm starting to think, I have like a 5% chance in my brain that Mike Florio could be correct, that they try to have Micah Parsons play, 5%, play this out as is with the $24 million guaranteed, that they really want to evaluate him as a person. And this isn't about guaranteed money, and this isn't about average salary per year. It is, yo, your running buddy right now is our number one black sheep of the organization in Trayvon Diggs. Are you going to become him? We're going to judge you by the company you keep. What's going to happen once you get paid? You're already talking early retirement. So now I'm starting to shift my thinking from this being about money to character.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, it would not... Nothing's crazy.
Anything's possible.
I hate that. I hate the company you keep thing. You know, like.
Well, I'll say this, and Sean talked about it last year. This last year's been solid. He was a problem for them in a lot of ways the first couple of years. So there is a history there that maybe they feel like I don't know that I believe the change yet. So I will say it may not just totally be company you keep. It may also just be, we don't know if we've built up enough confidence here yet.
Yeah, I think half of this is they're still upset that they feel that he backed out.
That's kind of what Schefter said yesterday with us.
We had an agreement, and then you decided to get the agent involved, which, correct me if I'm wrong, is kind of the rule.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? There's rules for this, right? You can't.
And even if it's not a rule, man, like Jerry Jones should be understanding of a young player with his life-changing deal getting the final. Okay, he agreed to it in the moment. You know, am I going to hold it against you because you had a final conversation with your agent who said, hang on, hold up? Come on, man. You're negotiating with 25-year-olds,
yep.
Dude.
That's Jerry's that old school type, you know, backroom negotiator, handshake deal. Don't get all the people involved that don't need to be involved. That's how he's approaching this.
You know,
and that's the wrong way to go.
You know how Maverick fans, there's a portion of them. There you go, Mike. Something you're interested in listening to. Although, never mind. Mike quit the match.
No, he's back.
He's back with Cooper Flagg. You know, Maverick fans were like, I want them to lose so Nico doesn't get rewarded.
Yep.
I wonder if we did a poll question, and I'm not suggesting to do it because people will say, oh, you can't agree headlines. I'm just thinking out loud here. I wonder how many would vote on Micah demanding a trade in order to hurt Jerry. Like, would you support Micah Parsons? Because the evil part of my brain, the evil shoulder of mine is saying, I wish he would just ask. I wish he would demand a trade. Now, it would hurt the Cowboys. It would hurt us. It would hurt our ratings. It would hurt the season. But just to, like, have Jerry Jones take a big fat L, unless it'd be better for the organization, but how many are just rooting so hard for Micah in this position that they would understand and support him demanding a trade because they would understand a Cowboy star finally not wanting to put up with this.
I mean, they might understand. I, at the end of the day, they want the player. You know, they want the player. Cowboy fans at the end of the day are like, I think to me they're the only group of fans in DFW that cares more just about the win loss than how the team is. I think in general, you want to like the players on the Rangers. You want to like the players on the first and foremost. I mean, you want them to win too, but like you want them to be your guys. I don't think they care when it comes to the Cowboys.
Florio has another prediction. ProFootballTalk.com. Although the CBA is structured to make it much harder for a player to walk out after he shows up, they can put you on the retirement list and take away your full salary for the year. You're done. They put you on the retirement list for the year. If Micah Parsons walks out right now, he would have 5 days to return. That's what the CBA says. But Florio says he may have to do it in order to get the best possible deal. If he doesn't, Jones will lowball him. And if Micah doesn't take the last best offer, the Cowboys will kick the can until 2026. If that happens, Micah should demand a trade after the season to a team that will pay him what he's worth and that won't use the inevitability of injury against him. Meanwhile, Cowboy fans, is it really a mystery as to why your team hasn't made it to the title game for 30 years and counting?
Does any part of you, like I was yesterday, wonder if he planned on practicing until he heard Jerry talk? And then he's like, well, I can't leave. I've already shown up.
Right.
But I'm not going to practice now.
I don't know. Good question.
Because I kind of wonder if he just wouldn't have shown up if this would have occurred before he had actually arrived.
Right.
Or if he would have. It clearly bugged him.
Or if he would have stepped out there. Yeah. Because all this lovey-dovey stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, let me sit next to him in the suite. Let me find him in Vegas. We're hanging out together. Calling. Buddy buddies. What happened when the negotiating time came around, it's like he backstabbed me.
Oh, years ago, so a few years back.
Both of them probably feel that way.
6 weeks before Randy Gregory hit free agency, they were talking to him about like, hey, you're kind of going to be our priority. We view you as one of our leaders. This is what we think, yada, yada. They got into negotiation time, and it all of a sudden flipped to a completely different discussion. And so there is a little bit of, that's been their history before negotiations where it's they will build somebody up generally when they're in a comfortable position. But then as soon as the negotiation time comes, they're going to walk around the car and go, oh, there's a ding there. You got to take off $1,000 for that. I don't like that. That's how they approach their negotiations with everybody. It's just they do it more intensely than some others. Now, Micah Parsons is not practicing yet. He did show up. CeeDee Lamb, do you think missing camp last year hurt you?
At first, I didn't. I didn't believe it, but obviously I was a little oblivious to the truth. I will be honest. It's just I can be as strong, as fast, as explosive as I want to be, but if I can't control it to where Dak understands how explosive or how in and out my breaks I can be, I think I did that essentially just for me, and it's not never just for me. I have to do things to his tailoring, essentially, just making sure that he's seeing the right things. He's seeing my breaks, it's defined routes. It's small things, man. It's critiquing myself, not slipping on some of the routes, just having my foot right, things of that nature. So, like, just being available for my team and being here, being able to lead, being able to tell guys right from wrong, things of that nature. Like, I feel like the small things that I could have done last year, obviously not being here because of my situation, but that's neither here nor there. I got it done. I'm happy to be here. I'm able to lead my troops again. It's good.
What a fascinating answer. I never thought of the player and his own athleticism increasing, matching up with the quarterback, right? Dak doesn't know how much faster I am. Dak doesn't know if I'm a step slow.
Mm-hmm.
And I never heard anyone explain it like that. That's why CeeDee Lamb sitting down with us, hopefully next week, will be just as good.
That's something where, yeah, because he talked about it where it's, he said, he almost positions it a little bit there, like, was there any, not selfishness, but like I ended up doing stuff just to improve me. And then, like you say, it does fall into a broader context of like, well, they don't know who you are right now. Then they don't know what leaps you've taken or anything else if you haven't been there to put in the work. And it sounds like something he wasn't totally aware of.
No.
Here okay. we go.
No. Listen.
RJ, right, tell CeeDee Lamb why he's wrong about his personal experience.
I'll tell you exactly why he's wrong, because him and Dak all off season hang out and throw together.
CeeDee sat out a lot of those.
Oh, on the Dak the Dak yard, in the Dak yard, CeeDee sat away, or wherever they go in the off season together on these trips. You know, the West Coast, they go for a week. They go for a week, every single time a player has brought up how missing camp hurts them, never in the history have they. It's because they've gotten better athletically. It's because they lost stamina, they lost some of the ability or injury
so
risk.
Doesn't that prove exactly what you're saying, that like doesn't that disprove what you're trying to say?
No, not
is
at
that
all.
CeeDee's
all
telling you
he got better.
CeeDee's telling you all the things that he got better with, and he's saying it didn't matter because I lost everything that I'm supposed to have in terms of chemistry.
This could be your most arrogant take of
it's
all
not
time.
Arrogant.
How you're literally telling us how another player feels physically. That is so arrogant.
It's not arrogant. I just don't appeal to authority. I just don't do that. What he's doing here, he placed the blame somewhere else. I didn't have a great year last year or whatever, which he did have a great year, because I obviously, couldn't have been me. It had to be because Jerry didn't give me the contract.
He did say him. He said, I wasn't here to show them that I didn't do enough to show Dak. He said, I need to tailor to Dak.
If he had said, look, this is why I got hurt, yada, 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 I could actually buy that. But the simple fact that he said the one guy who doesn't know him any better is Dak. Are you kidding me? These guys they never spend a day apart. They're always practicing together. You trying to tell me that Dak was the one that didn't know him?
All right. Well, then let's say, CeeDee, if this did hurt you, give us some evidence. When did you realize missing camp
Cooper, hurt? If he had said Cooper Rush, yes, I would have bought that.
When did you realize Not missing Dak. Camp hurt?
Honestly, it was during the San Fran game. I want to say the first half. That's when I was like, everything that I was doing, it was really just for me, honestly, just making sure that I was in the best shape that I could possibly be in for my team. Not that I was in the best shape with my team, for my team, with the guys that I love, you know? So, I did all I could do to be available. Granted, it worked out, but I like small things.
Those small details, that when everybody's athletic, when everybody's good, do you disagree that details are a lot of times where teams win?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So, I mean, if CeeDee's telling you, like, I wasn't involved in any of the details.
I understand that from that perspective, but, like, again, what I'm saying is, like, CeeDee and Dak together, everything got thrown around because with the Cooper Rush situation, but CeeDee and Dak together, those two guys don't need camp together to get to know each other. They are together all off-season throwing.
What game was it? Was it Baltimore where CeeDee's on the sideline again barking at Dak and they're going at each other? Probably related to a lot of this. Hey, I'm there. I can do it. Well, I don't know that you're there. Or I don't see it that way. Like, those are the kind of things where that probably was a hang-up where he felt like Dak didn't understand what he was capable of doing, and Dak felt like, you don't understand where we're at as a team right now.
So just for the record, if Zach Martin or any player says, no, I couldn't replicate the training camp practices, or I think I got hurt during the season because I wasn't at camp, what do you buy of that? And what do you dismiss? What, where do you find it credible when a player says hurting can't miss me?
I would find it credible
or
with,
hurt me.
I mean, I would find it more credible 30 years ago, 50 years ago, when they used camp to get in shape. These guys don't use camp to get in shape. If you were hurt in the offseason and then you missed camp, absolutely. You know, if you had a new team would do that too. I don't know. I just think that I think it's just a convenient thing when people say, I miss Cam. That's maybe why I'm hurt. Maybe it is why you're hurt. I don't know if that's why you're hurt or not. I would think that guys are in shape in the NFL, especially guys at that level.
Do you think it more hurts them from a conditioning standpoint or like a playbook standpoint if they miss?
I think it would miss more conditioning, maybe.
Okay. Do you even think they should have training camp? Do you even think they should?
I think training camp. I think training camp is like, I know it's too long. It's a waste of time.
The whole thing's a waste of time. Like they shouldn't even like. Are you saying they shouldn't practice like at camp?
No, they should practice. But I think it doesn't
like in the Dallas Cowboys.
It's going to be 6 weeks. What I'm saying. You know what I mean? 6 weeks. You know, like they keep shrinking the preseason games. They used to have 6 preseason games. Then they went to 4, and they'll be at 2 in no time. They keep shrinking it, so they don't even think it's important anymore.
They don't think preseason games are important. They think the training camp ramp up is.
There's an obviously an advantage to ramp up, but you know every baseball player will tell you spring training is too long. The pitchers need it. The hitters don't. The hitters are ready in 2 weeks. For the pitchers, they do need it. Yes.
I don't know. I mean, there is a lot of.
It's amazing you didn't make it as a college golfer with this practice.
There's a lot of
all these hard working habits.
Practice is. It was not meant for me. I was not meant for practice.
Practice is for tryhards, not naturals.
While you're taking your kids to Bassick's dad to train and practice.
That's right.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Once every quarter.
Not a new team, but it is a new culture here in Dallas. CeeDee Lamb, give us your thoughts on the new culture.
I feel like this whole year, like everything that all the moves that we made in this offseason changed this culture. Not saying the culture that we didn't have, like that we had last year or the years prior, because Mike had a great situation going on. Obviously, it didn't pan out the way that we wanted, but Shotty came in and he's wanting us to compete literally every single day. It doesn't matter what we do. We wake up, get ready to compete as soon as we get in the team meeting room.
That's clearly the underline. Like culture has been the big push. The sub headline all offseason has been competition. Compete. That clearly is one thing he's driving.
But what happened the other day is why Clarence Hill and Calvin Watkins have been mocking this culture stuff the whole offseason. They just mock it. And it irritates me when they do it because Jerry Jones got up there for an hour and showed you what the culture could actually mean or how fast he could sit there and detonate it.
Or what he's showing you or what Shotty's trying to do is show you the reason why culture is so important is so you can sustain that. Like that's one of the things that you try and work and underline, and maybe something that, hey, in the past, when Jerry's taking these shots at CD, I haven't felt like being in the building. The culture was where it needed to be able to handle that. Yeah. And we're trying to do that now. Last one. This is a short clip here. CeeDee Lamb does give a warning for NFL teams.
I feel like the league knows what happens when I'm healthy and I have Dak for a whole season. But if you don't, I will happily show you what it's going to be like this year. Honestly, I'm a dominant receiver. I don't like to speak highly of myself, but I can't wait to show you guys.
So he's ready. He's got lots of confidence. He was great yesterday, and I'm sure he'll be great with us next week when he joins us on, out in Oxnard.
You're hyping this up a lot, Bobby. Yep.
That's 2 times I've said it. It's just I'm trying. I did
your heart set on it. We've already had our souls crushed twice by the KNC masterpiece mm-hmm. with Overshown and Milton.
Bront is my boy. I very specifically put in the email. I said the reason why we got it so quick. I put in the email. I said, "Hey,
got it so quick. Our email is like a week late."
CeeDee Lamb is our number one. So please, if he does the station, do not let any of the other shows have him. And then he texted and said, "You guys got Lamb."